Welcome to Pause It, Play It. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
Are you sure?
Yes.
And I'm Dan.
We're back.
You certainly are.
In pog form.
Yes.
Thanks to Dan having a wild and active social life.
Sorry, guys.
We can't record on our usual day.
So.
But it's like, you know what, recording Thursday nights, it's like old times.
It is.
Yeah. It's like lockdown times.
I know, yeah. I'm quite nostalgic for lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, those particular podcasts.
Yeah, it was good that.
I could listen to music while we were doing it.
I'd be on Skype 5 hours Thursday nights.
And then when we finished Skyping at 11, 12 o'clock, I'd be like, oh, I've got to put the bins out. Every time.
Yeah, that was good, but not much else was good. Do you look back at lockdown and think, like, what did I do all the time?
I was working from home, but like...
But... I was too, but still. Like,
but also.
Good times.
Good times. Yeah, I'm sort of nostalgic for him, but I wouldn't have him back. I prefer to see you in real life. Mm. But a little bit of me enjoyed going into that dark room and getting wasted. The listeners will think I'm like a different person from back then. Been sober for like the last 10 episodes.
And it can all fuck up. Actually, that's a good point. I've not gone back and listened to any of like the old ones.
I don't want to.
I know, I don't want to, because I think the really early one, because like the Fakestone episode is like one of our most listened to episodes.
Yeah.
And I feel like we'd just be like, so do you like the 1975?
Yeah.
Who's your favourite member?
But people still keep listening to that all the time. I'm like, oh God. It's like the pilot episode and people are going back.
Yeah. Just delete it. The people, because they're listening to it first because it's the start, right?
Yeah.
But it might not be our best work.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not. Maybe.
You change the description to like starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start this one.
59 minutes.
If you're a real fan, then go and work backwards. Like, start again.
Yeah, yeah. What we should do, our very last episode should be face down.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Oh, shit.
Then it's just a circle.
Yeah.
It's like that theory that they reckon the very last episode of The Simpsons should set up the very first episode. So it's a loop. But what is time?
Well, summer disappeared.
Oh, God, I don't know. September already. I think it's that.
I just mean like it evaporated because of lockdown as well, though. My whole year just went... When we discovered that it was like 4 or 5 months... Was it 6 months since we spoke to Max?
Max was April.
Yeah, so 4 months. But that's crazy for me.
Yeah, that's well quick. I feel like, if anything, I'm letting the listenership down because I've not got any more rodent-based stories to keep them
since
interested.
Then. I know. We'll have to... I don't know what we can do. We'll put just a load of cheese near your win and hope that...
Aha, bring it back. That's unethical.
Well, nothing's happened to me since we last recorded, but you two, you've had a wild few days.
I witnessed something really odd. It wasn't a motoring accident as such, but I was driving along the A58. Check it out, guys. Stick it on Google Maps. It's a very long road. So somewhere along the A58. My delightful full-time girlfriend
had... Live-in.
Live-in, yeah, she live-in, yeah. Sometimes I let her out.
Oh, that's the A58.
That's the A58. It's long, isn't it?
Yeah,
God. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You are listening live to Josh realising that roads are long.
You're not going
to
believe this.
Yeah. Well, it's a big road. I remember my dad once told me, some reference the A58. I'm like, Dad, I don't have a clue what the A58 is. I'm not a dad. And he's like, yes, you do. It's the main road between Liverpool and Halifax. or something like that.
Like, Dad, that's the M62.
Yeah.
Anna told me about the A58, and I was like, I don't know about it. She's like, you live on it.
Yeah, you do.
I did.
Well, you did.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, so funnily enough, this incident happened outside your old house.
Did it?
Yeah. So Gemma has called me, and the traffic lights were on red. So because I was a bit distracted, I've taken it upon myself to slow down towards the traffic lights.
Safe,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cautious driver.
sooner. So I was coming to a very, very slow halt.
Oh.
And there was about 1.5 car lengths between me and the car in front when this Corsa came flying from the junction.
Corsa.
From Birch Road. far too quick. Did a right-hand turn, but missed it. Kind of scraped along some railings. And then continued with his full right-hand lock on. And went into the space where I would have been if I pulled up to a reasonable amount of distance between the car in front and myself. But because I was just on the phone and taking my sweet time, there was room for this car just to roll in, reverse out, straighten up, then stop dead. Like, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be out. I'd be like, I'm off. But no, this guy just sat there. I admired his beard and drove off.
Was this like, so Mr. Collins, could you please describe the incident that you saw?
Yeah. And well, I'm glad that it's recorded. I don't have to do that again.
I guess we're not in what I'm listening to, but I've been listening to Appease, which I'll go back on anyway. But so this guy used to be in a band called Appease. I've been emailing him today and he asked what I was doing for work. And I had to like explain to him that I'm a corporate sellout, but I enjoy it because I get to play with spreadsheets. Meanwhile, he makes music videos for a living, so he's cool as fuck. Sorry, Ben. But I should have mentioned the podcast actually. But yeah, so Appease are a band from Bolton, and we first saw them at a Alkaline Trio gig. They were supporting Alkaline Trio when I was 14, and they were sick. Saying to Junior before, they're like a mixture of Funeral for a Friend and Jimmy Eat World. It's such a cool combination. And they were signed to Funeral for a Friend's label, Mighty Atom. But like, if we ever get anybody from the 1975 on and we discuss the Manchester scene, I'm sure like Appease will get mentioned because they were like, whoa, somebody signed to Funeral for a Friend's label and they're from like round here. That's sick.
Well, so they were the same time as early 1975. We drive like I do.
No, we were all a bit young. So it was like when we were like 14.
Oh, right.
So like, it would have just been almost a bit more unattainable feeling at that point. But they didn't really go anywhere, but these songs for like my group of mates and stuff were, we listened to them all the time like they were any other band. So rediscovering them was great. Like, they turned up on Spotify and I've discovered it yesterday. I was like, oh, the memories in these songs are so sick. I was like rocking out doing like...
They're on Spotify?
Yeah, they just turned up on Spotify in June.
Oh, that's cool.
So then I knew... So I used to email the guy from Appease and be like, can we have a gig with you, please? Me and my 16-year-old friends will play Newfound Glory gig covers at your gig. And he's just like, no, mate. But like, he was always so nice about it that he probably was like 20 or something, so which vast gulf then, but now we're like probably the same age-ish. I've not caught him up, but you're like, as far as it matters, we're the same age, aren't we? So... Anyway, I emailed him today going, bro, that's turned up on Spotify, but what about... And I emailed info at his company, but like for the attention of Ben. And he came back to us and was like, hey, it's a Dropbox link with everything. Yeah, go for it. I was like, yeah.
Oh, man. Sick, that's cool.
Legend.
Now he's uploaded that to LimeWire.
Yeah, I'm now selling it.
You packed it, locked it, and then you've told him if you want the password, you have to pay to this account.
What a ledge. I can send you the torrent link. So yeah, that's what I've been listening to. A band that I listened to when I was 14 that no one knows. But you can check them out on Spotify at Appease. Yeah, check them out.
Speaking of... And you mentioned Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah.
And segue into a member of Jimmy Eat World. Matt, you've had a change in hairstyle.
Well, I styled it last night like Jim of, you know, Mr. Eat World.
Yeah.
But that's not how I plan to style it going forward.
It looks good.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah
it to be fair, it suited me, didn't it? But
yeah.
Not enough wet look.
No.
Yeah. He's got really like...
It like curls a bit at the
bottom. Yeah, it does. He looks like he's got real weight to it.
Yeah.
I think you need to grow it a bit more and then just make the ends flick out.
Well, it's not a look I'm going for. I appreciate you, you know, your advice there.
Well, I think I'll have to survey the room again.
I was going
to
say we survey the room and you're not outvoted, so it's
2-1 again. So sorry. But in terms of what I've been listening to, Nothing exciting because I've been busy. However, I did. You know, the other day though, I was a bit like, this was last week, but I was a bit stuck for what to listen to. You know, when you feel like you've listened to everything,
yeah.
But you also don't want to get into something that new because it requires a bit more.
You need a bit of effort to get into it, don't you? Sometimes.
So I needed some. It was almost like I needed something that I had listened to, but just not in ages.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't find anything. But I watched this interview with Barry Johnson from Joyce Manor today. And he mentioned a lot of stuff. So this is my new way of finding music, is that I'm going to listen to interviews with people that I like and then see what they suggest.
Fair enough.
So who are the... Bill Fox and...
He sounds like he runs a haulage company.
Bill Fox Deliveries. And the other one was the Weaker Thans. So... This isn't what have I been listening to, it's what am I going to listen to. And it's these two.
Which is a way better trail forward. So, hey, listen in next time to find out what Josh thought of these bands.
Yeah.
We'll probably forget.
Isn't that like a real reflection on humans? Just that when the iPod came out, we're like, absolutely no way can I fill this. I'm going to put all the music that's ever existed on it and I'll never get bored.
Yeah.
And you could never find anything you wanted to listen to. Now you've got Spotify, which has got more music than you could ever fit on an iPod, and you're still like, now on.
Now on.
There just isn't any good music.
Do you know what? Yeah, but I think like when you're like us, and I'm sure everyone listening to this, and you think more about your music choices...
That's your problem. You don't think about it. Just have it. Fed to you by Capital.
That's it. But we're not. We won't. None of us would just put on the radio and just go, oh, I'll just listen to whatever's on this.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like you said about that girl who you worked with, right? I just listen to whatever's on. You're like, oh, that's so alien. You weirdo.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Didn't really know music that well to just let it gloss over. But then my granddad hated everyone apart from Johnny Cash. So
at least he's got passion for someone though.
But he was more tolerable.
I bet that's quite common in Johnny Cash like listeners. It's just all passion used up, hate everything else.
You know what? I did not know that about your granddad, but I can completely see it.
Only musician he liked was Johnny Cash.
Anything else is Johnny Cash.
Oh, nice. I wish that was filmed so we could see how happy Dan looked with himself.
Yes! Shit, that's probably my reaction every time I make a joke at work and everything. People, why aren't you laughing, guys? Guys?
But yeah, and my granddad once famously said that if anyone else had been singing that song at Eurovision other than Cliff Richard, we'd have won it. And that if he was playing in the back garden, he'd close the curtains.
That's not what you want to see, is it? Cliff Richard knocking one out and a close back garden.
That's a top insult, that. I'm robbing that.
Yeah.
Like anything, I tell you what, if she were in back garden, I'd close curtains.
Yeah.
That's top.
Chris Angus, sir.
You know, I was a little worried about what I did talk about since we recorded the other day, but I do. Do you know when people ask you, oh, what sort of stuff do you watch? You've been watching Out Good recently. And, like, no, because all I watch... But all I watch is, like, documentaries on YouTube.
Yeah, me
do you know
too.
What I mean? Yeah. But while I've been watching a guy cycle his bike around for a while...
Deliveroo? That guy?
No, but I've watched them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Point of view, fixie bikes, sort of going around cities and stuff like that.
£1,000 this week. Come on, let's do the target. That.
Yeah, yeah.
Does like a 90-hour week, but makes a grand player.
What a great
job. He's also doesn't need to go to the gym.
His calves.
Yeah.
Amazing.
No need to add mass.
But I did watch an actual current series, the All or Nothing documentary about Spurs.
Oh, right, okay, because
Amazon Prime?
Yes.
Because there's a Leeds one and a City one, isn't there? They look, even though I don't give a fuck, I'm like, wow, well, maybe I'll watch these.
Well, the Sunderland one as well. Oh, it's probably less watched.
I own a house.
No, that was on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
So that was, but that was massive. I've watched one of the City one, but it's hard when it's not your team, isn't it? To really get into it. But it's Mourinho.
Yeah.
He's a character.
And I love him, so it's great.
Cos cocky.
And, oh, he's amazing. And have you seen like this? I don't know if it was a proper trailer or it was just something on Twitter. Of you were seeing this. So it's him sat in his office and he's got Sky Sports News on.
Yeah.
And they're talking about him being made Spurs manager. And he sat there and they're going like, oh, Mourinho, yeah. Oh, he's won everywhere he's gone. And he's there writing something and he's nodding along like that. And then someone goes, can't believe they've made him manager. He's passed it. He just looks up outraged, stands up to the telly and goes, fuck off.
That's top.
I don't know if it was like it can't be a proper advert, can it?
But
imagine like sort of just any job.
Yeah.
You go into it and it's like, well, this dad's working with this company. Pff, don't know about that.
Why, what have you heard?
Yeah, if someone asked me that question, I'd be like, I've watched a man compare two coffee grinders that he's had for a year to decide which one's the best.
I've also watched that one. What's he called? We should shout him out.
James Hoffman, absolute Hoffman. Legend.
You mentioned him nearly every week.
James Hoffman!
Love him.
Can we get sponsored by James Hoffman?
Yeah, I wish.
I'm really into the Umbrella Academy. Which
that's a current series.
It's a current series.
Yeah.
And Altered Carbon. Both the visuals on both of these, I just sit there like an artistic child. And that's just like, look at my 4K OLED. See? And I'm going, Kelsey, look, I told you it was worth it to buy this sick telly. And she's like, the thing is with this, OLEDs, right? Oh, let's go down Nerd Avenue. Like, OLEDs do look better, but you can only appreciate it directly after having seen one that isn't OLED.
Right.
So I feel like I want to wheel like
Did
another
you buy two tellies like you bought two phones so you could compare?
I want to like wheel like a telly and like off
like
of school.
A primary school.
Yeah, yeah. I go, look at this shit telly. Now look at ours. She doesn't appreciate it. But yeah. I don't know what the storylines in these programs are like, but they look
watch you while your telly performs.
They look nice.
Oh, God.
Send us in suggestions for your favourite YouTubers.
And your favourite TVs.
Your favourite TVs and favourite YouTubers.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to know about your Netflix shit, just physical TVs and YouTubers.
I have been rediscovering the dulcet tones of Plan B. Ben, to his friends.
Gives a verse.
I stab you in the eye, yo, with a fucking biro. The same fucking biro, you just send a gyro,
you fucking wino.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird though, because I like Plan B, I reckon because of you. I would have like just songs by like artists just in my iTunes. So I reckon you'd have shown me like a Plan B song and I've had it.
And you went into iTunes and bought it legally?
Yeah, of course. I never had LimeWire or anything.
The family computer's still going at Josh's house. You can go Windows XP, it's still fine.
Definitely didn't break the family computer loads, definitely. And I had an example song. I don't want to.
No.
Yeah.
It's too bit true.
Before he went like EDM pop.
Yeah, that album was so good.
And then when he went EDM pop, I was like, oh, I know this guy, this is
different. He's doing a different thing.
Yeah,
that's why I reckon I know that Plan B. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, that album from Example was very good. And then, don't like his EDM shizzle.
But yeah, should we talk about A Change of Heart?
What?
Yes. Drop it in now.
Thank you to everyone who has listened to the podcast so far. We are deep into album 2 now, so you can go back and listen to us talk about the 4 EPs and the entire, podcast episodes on every song off the 975's first album. If you want to find the podcast on Instagram and Twitter, you can find us at the 975 Pod. You can search Pause It, Play It Pod on Facebook to find us, or if you want to get in touch, you can email us at pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com. A Change of Heart. Great song.
It's a great song.
Thank you for listening. And we.
I think it might be me bringing the controversy this week.
Will. What a great song.
Well, is it though, Dan?
Go on, hang on. Right, okay, so we already know where this is going. Dan's the anomaly this week.
Yeah. I think it's a song with huge potential that's been unrealised, and that's why I find it frustrating. I like it, it's got my conversational lyrics, it's what I go for. Now, that synth part that comes in after the first chorus. Go away. Get in the bin.
You said a similar thing about Love Me. You hate that synth line.
Get in the bin. Because, no, and here's why it's like a wasted opportunity. Imagine like a robber's style guitar sound playing something really similar. Do you know what I mean? Maybe like just toned down like a little bit. And I just think it'd be so sick just letting Adam just rip it out.
I can see it, but then if you do that, then you don't get the bit with the guitar break.
Maybe Healy should pick his guitar up. Do you know what I mean?
Well, he's got stuff to do.
Lazy. He's back in the day.
He's a busy guy.
Hey. Yeah. It's so. I just think that the synth pisses me off, and I think it could go so far away from pissing me off. Like if it was a guitar part, I think it could be so amazing that I'd love it. And
right.
So it goes like past zero into annoying me. And also, I really had high hopes for this song's video, and it is a nice video. Black and white in it, and he's doing the dance with
we'll get onto a lady. The video proper later on, but yeah.
Well, I'm doing it now. I need
to watch it if we're doing it.
What I was really keen for this video was it to be. I want a video with Matt Healy singing the song to the camera and acting cocky as fuck. Do you know what I mean?
But it's not that.
I want a narrative video from the 1975.
You got that with somebody else as a narrative video.
Yeah. I just want to see him say, like, I want to see a girl taking a picture of a salad and him going and looking at the camera and going, and put it on the internet. Like, and I just want that from him so much. Imagine the menswear video. Like, if there was a video for that, what it'd be like. And I'm like, please deliver it. Stop being artsy. Be cocky.
So. Do you mean like as she's putting the salad on the internet, he breaks the fourth wall and gives the camera?
Yes, that's exactly what I want. Like, can we produce this?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Tax Matt Healy.
What, have you got any lettuce? We could film it right now.
I don't think I have, you know.
Have you got anything that would...
Lettuce doesn't last long in his house, just eats it.
Substitute for salad.
I've got a couple of leeks.
Pubes? So listen, I don't hate the song. I think like it's all right. And as we listen to it, then it's great. That last harmony, like, is so sick, right?
Which one?
The last time it says a change of heart, just as the song ends, he really goes up and goes for it. And I just think they could have just pushed this song a little bit more. It's very laid back, and I get that that's what it is, but I don't know. It could have just been a little bit more 1975-y for me. A little bit more oomph. So I can stand outside.
It's probably for the best.
I'll get my coat. But you guys love it.
Yeah. I think it's brilliant. I struggle really. I would say I only like... Oh, what's it called, the other one? The skateboard and the... You know, that video where he's riding a skateboard and he's walking through the Barbican.
Is that somebody else?
Yeah, that's the one. I couldn't think of what it's called. But I only like somebody else marginally more than this.
Do you?
Mm. A change of heart, for those that haven't clocked.
Why do you like it so much, then?
I just think it's a great song. On the contrary to Dan, love that synth part. I think it's a brilliant contrast because it's like it's borderline shit. It sounds like what's that thing that Rolf Harris used to play? Do you know what I mean?
The stylophone.
Stylophone, yeah. It sounds like it's been done in a stylophone.
You mentioned Rolf Harris?
Oh, guitar. The stylophone is a historical artifact. I think we're okay to mention it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like that it sounds like it was. They got Rolf Harris on day release to perform
that. There we go.
To perform that on his stylophone. I think if you turn it up enough, you can just hear me in the back going.
Oh my God.
With his wobble board.
I do agree that it has to be a stylistic choice for it to sound so. Bob.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Bob.
Because you've got so much equipment and stuff. Yeah, yeah, they want it to sound plain or whatever. I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, I think it just adds to that laid back aesthetic. Like, very. I think. Like 80% polished.
Mm.
Because
it's just like a laid back, not particularly overly produced, is it? It's just what it is. And it sounds to me like they wrote that synth part and we're like, we'll fiddle with it. We'll stick the 1% on that.
Nice. Callback.
Later. And then they're like, no, oh, actually, I quite like it. It sounds a bit naff. And stuck with it.
Yeah.
But for me, the highlight of the entire song is when Adam is allowed out of his box. Right, go for it. It's the dun 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 dun. I was like, oh my God. Every time that bit comes on, I'm like, shut the fuck up, Gemma, I'm listening to Han. I don't really, because I'm scared of it. And I would never, ever disrespect the woman I love.
Wait, is this a soul song?
Yeah, that's for me the highlight of the entire song is Adam's guitar part.
I'm glad we've come to me last, I guess, because I'm going to go one further. Say I prefer this to somebody else.
Get in the bin.
I think this is so good. I think it's just like a clinic in songwriting of how to, for something so simple, to how to keep you engaged for the entire thing. And just going on that particular guitar part, it's a really understated part.
Yeah.
If you put that in any other song, like, for example, chorus or intro to She's American are much bigger than what he's doing there. But just the way the rest of the song is around it, it just feels like the big moment in the song where he does that. It's not a solo, really, is it?
No.
It's just like a...
It's just a rhythm part, isn't it?
Yeah, it's... I think it's so good. I love that it's so simple. I love that it's like... It's not like they've done anything like this before, because when they come up with real... like the slower songs and the much more stripped back ones, for example, Falling For You, let's say, that's really, like, it's slow and it's like evoking a different feeling from you. Whereas this, I would say, it sounds quite positive.
Yeah, I get you. It sort of plods along, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't really, like, it doesn't ask loads from you to listen to it.
No.
Because you can't, like, you can just stick this on and it's fine. You can't really just, like, stick Falling For You on.
You've got to be in love with someone.
You want to listen to slower music, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might be getting...
But with this, I think you can just stick it on whenever. Lyrics are phenomenal, but obviously we'll get onto that. I think as well, just in terms of the album listing, I think it's just really clever how you go from like massive Love Me to something a bit more nuanced in and then it brings you down to like this, like really this level with this. It doesn't bring you down all the way because it is still the third track on the album. And then obviously She's American is next. We just listened to it then, well, about an hour ago. But we just listened to it then and you mentioned the outro.
Yeah, the big vocal, loud harmony.
The vocal production throughout the song is so good.
It's so sick.
It's so, like, there's harmonies in it And I think that's why, one of the reasons to me why it stands out, because there's less going on in it, the stuff that they're doing like that, which I'm sure is all over other songs, all over other songs, but because there's less going on, that stands out more.
Yeah.
So the fact that just the harmonies stand out more, the 1%, just the little stuff like the, it's like a synth, but it's going like, you know the bit?
Yeah, I think I do, yeah.
Like, that's just like a little texture in the background, but that really stands out because it is a simple song.
Dup, 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 dup.
Let's talk about the video then, because let me just change my tab to the video.
I've actually got something to say about the video that I'm not proud of at all.
Should I pretend that I never said what I said before? Or
no, you're good.
Okay.
I mean, if you've not seen it, and you know, there's no shame in not knowing that the 1975 had a video to a certain song, especially Heart Out. But you know, go back and listen to that episode. So it's basically black and white. Matty dressed as a mime, dancing around with a woman dressed as a mime.
Far from a pop band.
I like it. I think it's cool, but I'm not blown away by it.
Especially compared to the song. Like you said, the song was like a lesson in how to keep people engaged in a four-minute song. And the video's a bit samey.
But I think as well, I think looking at it cynically, this has 27 million views on YouTube. Now, if that's just a bit of content that you're putting out in terms of an album campaign, because they could have shot this in a night.
Yeah.
Got some pro to edit it. It's not, the budget is going to be what? Venue hire, costume.
The actress. Yeah.
Actress. Yeah, yeah. As far, in terms of like an album campaign, I think it would probably like, okay, this is a song we're going to do a video for as another piece of media we can put out for it, rather than this is going to be like a huge thing. Like the Love Me video, for example, is like we're introducing this aesthetic for this album.
Yeah.
That being said, though, I think a lot of people really like this video.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I like that it's just different to anything else they've done video-wise. And I don't mean different as in like the colour sex video, which is different and no one needs to see it. I just love it. It's just a bit different. It's melancholy but playful.
Oh.
I know.
Exposures in the rain.
Yeah.
Did that make it in?
No.
And also, when I watched it, I remember finding the mime lady very beautiful. And I thought, I need to see what she looks like, that white makeup on. And I searched the internet, and I'm not proud. But luckily, there are geekier people on Reddit than me. So someone had done the research for me, and it's a dancer from the West Midlands called Katie Collins, we share a surname, and an uncle, Phil Collins.
And Peter.
Yeah, Peter Genesis.
Oh, God. Grandmother Joan Collins.
Yeah, that's it. Auntie Michelle Collins. Then there's Jackie Collins. Great Uncle Michael Collins, leader of the IRA.
Which one wrote the dictionary?
that was the other Michael Collins, who was also the third man on the moon.
Oh, yeah, of course. A busy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the video's cool, you know, like...
Wait, that can't have been what you were aiming for. You must have been saying something.
Yeah.
I've lost it in Collins's.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, just...
Then pause and go back into it.
Yeah. Josh is like, I'm not interested. Moving swiftly on.
Anyway.
I thought the thing you were saying is that you weren't proud of going on Reddit and finding who
she was. I'm not, but I now follow her on Instagram. Oh. And I'm quite a fan of her, to be honest. Like, because now I'm like, well, I know she dances and choreographs for Kylie Minogue for Robbie Williams. I've seen her in an advert for an airline. I think it was Thai Airlines. But it's just weird because every time I see her, I'm like, oh my God.
It's my girl.
Yeah, it's Katie Collins.
I'm looking at her, I've just seen your Instagram bio.
What have you seen?
Your Instagram bio. Ambassador for Team Fruit of the Loom. All right. Enter discount code. People are going to believe that. No longer followed by Hugh Edwards. Were you ever followed by Hugh Edwards?
Yeah, I was.
Were you?
Yeah, no. I used to be followed by Hugh Edwards.
That's a great thing.
But don't forget that discount code. Enter yes, fruity.
Oh my God.
I saw someone on Instagram with a discount code in their bio, but he had about 200 followers. And I'm like, but he was serious. But I'm pretty sure he was serious. Otherwise, he's a comedy genius and I've just stole his idea. But that's what it was inspired by.
I think it's worth mentioning the order these songs came out, you know.
Do you know what? I was going to say that as well.
First one. No, it was the second one.
So, Love Me and obviously follow the track listing of the album.
Yes, they do.
But then we get the heavy hitters, Somebody Else, The Sound, and this doesn't come out until later. Change Your Heart, single number 5.
4 days before the album release.
Is it?
22nd of February, and the album came out on the 26th of February.
So, there you go, they're throwing the final one out there. I feel like they probably spent the money on the other videos.
Yeah. But I think this is... What's insane is that I feel... It's not insane, it's actually not that exciting. I feel like this came out well in advance of the album.
Mm.
And I had...
All right, Jim.
Come on, come on, I'll put on.
Sorry. I've been just seeing my bag. I've just thrown down the stairs.
We've got to keep this in.
Okay.
Oh, guys.
No worries.
Yeah, I remember... I feel like this came out way before the album was released.
But it...
Clearly did it 4 days before it. And I have a 7-inch white vinyl of this.
Oh,
I didn't know where that was going.
Yeah.
it's in literally a blank white sleeve, and there's like the sort of how do they call it, the tonal logo, slightly different bit of paper used to make the logo for it. And I cannot remember where I got it from. I didn't buy the big album bundle, so it didn't come with that.
Was it Andy's Records?
It wasn't Andy's Records. I don't remember buying it.
Rocks Off on Drake Street.
I wouldn't have bought this as a 7-inch single 4 days before the album came out, which I own on CD and vinyl.
Well, I did.
You've got the bundle.
Yes, I have.
Which also means you have it on CD and vinyl.
Got it on cassette. Not that I've got a cassette player, but I have it on cassette.
Have you got a signed thing from the first album?
Yeah. I keep threatening to put that up in the bathroom, but Gemma won't.
Have you got?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the only one with a piece of signed merch. Yeah, so if you have that as well, please let us know where it's from, because I don't know. I can't remember where I got it from. So I didn't go to the pop-up store like you two did either, so...
Not a real fan of
this. Apparently.
I think we should kick you off a podcast again.
Well, again?
No one will edit it.
Oh, fuck.
But you're back in.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. Then the world will have to realise what you two are really like.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you have that, please let me know. The 1975 pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Well, that's that then.
Great stuff.
Are we on to lyrics now?
I think we are, but this is usually a time in every man's life where he does the feature, George Daniels' Last Scene.
Yes. Let's have a look. Who's he been messaging? George. Okay. Oh,
it's good.
George Daniels' Last Scene was today. 9:26 in the morning.
Oh, that was 11 hours and 57 minutes ago.
Up at a reasonable time.
It was up early. Messaging.
Who knows about
his
what?
Phone's gone off. Who's waking me up at this time?
Yeah.
That's it. Boom.
His Android mate going on.
Do you know what? I'm sick of this Android guy.
But let's do lyrics then.
Sick.
Some good interpolation.
Wait, do you know the George Daniel feature? Was that planned from day one, or did we just discuss it?
I think it happened naturally. Yeah. Like all the best content, Danny, was natural.
Yes.
Right, so this is what Genius says. This is what Matthew Healy from the 1975 said.
Who?
He's the singing one.
The singing one.
It's such a simple song. It's three notes and the truth. We wanted to have serious conviction. It turned into a very atypical 1975 song, being very sentimental, very self-aware, and as beautiful as we can make it. I wouldn't say that being very self-aware is atypical as such.
That means not typical?
Yeah. But
I mean, I knew, but I just thought I'd check that you knew.
Yeah,
I
was testing you. I think the songs are very self-aware. He also described the song as a pure ballad. And drummer George Daniels last seen defined the... Oh, that's not his full name. Defined the narrative of the song as being by far the most simple song. Yeah, agreed. 100% yeah. Agreed. I mean, I know they wrote it, but yeah, I agree. A Change of Heart details the stages of falling out of love with someone, when the infatuation fades and you see them for who they truly are and not who you thought they were. I think it is that, but I think... Yeah, it is that, but it's almost like when you stop fancying someone and they just become a person. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I don't think it's got the sentimentality of necessarily a breakup song.
Yeah, because it's like a numbness to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
In an existential crisis, isn't it? Am I too old to be this stoned? What's going on in my life right now? Are we breaking up?
But would you say that it's a song that would describe a relationship which would end with a breakup or just a ghosting?
Yeah, that's a fair point, actually. Is it a relate? Have they got to that BFGF, Facebook a fish stage, or are they just seeing someone? He's not my boyfriend.
I think they might. I think this song could be a post-breakup song, and like looking back at some, maybe like, imagine like meeting up with somebody that you've broken up with, and they're like, "I've been worried about you lately." I feel like they can have like a frank conversation as well because they're like they've separated their emotions from it a bit, and they're
See, I think it's I want to use the word fling, but I feel it for a Heat magazine.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I don't think it's. I think it's just two people that would. Having it off for a bit, and then it's sort of they've both lost interest, and they're both seeing each other for
who they are,
and also when you look at someone like not through rose tinted glasses, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that I wasn't told you'd be this cold is kind of present, isn't it? And not retrospective. That's going like you're not the same person that I met 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's like
I've seen a different side of you now.
Yeah, and then like that sort of, you know, this cold, that's just like, well, it's just over for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like they've sort of...
Now it's my time to depart. Now I've just had a change of heart.
Yeah.
You were once given a book quoting these lyrics?
I was, yeah. That's quite a... It's a bit of an embarrassing story, so... my brother bought me On the Road as a birthday present and got some post-its. And he put some post-it notes on it so that it used the title On the Road from the book in the sentence of, I'll quote On the Road like a twat. But I think he got the lyrics wrong, which he's not as geeky as us, so we can forgive him that. But then I put it on my Instagram story, incorrect lyrics, but I thought, I'm not that bothered. I'm not changing it. Matt Healy saw it. And I feel like that's the day he stopped following me. I know, because it's like, not only do I look like an absolute fanboy, which is embarrassing, the lyrics were slightly wrong. Slightly
like
wrong.
Like a try-hard fanboy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Like, when the correct lyrics, only Google away, you fool.
Reference to the song The City, perhaps, in Wham Away Out of the City. Changing, leaving that sort of, the album behind, and leaving maybe a period of his life behind. That song, you know, obviously The City's a love song. It could have been, you know, could have had that song in her in mind. Also, he was seeing the girl from The City video. So that could be a really subtle reference.
Oh, yeah.
That would mean all three things.
Oh, my.
So good.
Writing, bro.
Finding a girl who is equally pretty would be hard.
That's why I think this song isn't about a relationship ending. It's just about a sort of stopping seeing someone. Because it's like, right, well, if it's ran its course with this person, I'll go and find another person to fill that void. And also, equally pretty doesn't necessarily mean that both are I'm trying to say it and not sound like a dick, but you know what I mean? Like,
they're not in the top 5% of attractive people in the world.
Yes, perhaps.
They're just kind of...
Sometimes you're like, they're attractive enough. I find them attractive enough to have a fling with for a while.
Yeah.
And when it ends, I could find someone as equally attractive to.
I think that line, Josh, could be a almost like a lie that you tell yourself, like, especially if you're seeing that girl from the video as like a model and everyone's like, oh, mate, she's so fit. And then it's like, yeah, I could find a girl who's equally pretty, 100%. Like, so I don't know whether it could be him sort of going...
Oh, like a bit of a... Yeah, yeah.
I'll
like,
be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, even that fit anyway. Like, I could...
Yeah.
No, I get that.
Not fine.
That's... I mean, like, just sort of... Those two lines, though, like, why am I out of the city and finding a girl who's equally pretty? Like, the fact that we've... I don't know, this feels like there's so much... But that's, like, context that we're adding... Because of what we previously heard.
That's what we don't get paid for.
Yeah. But also, there's more of that in verse 4. I know I'm skipping ahead because I haven't got to verse 3 yet.
The third verse here, lads.
But to go back to your point about it being the girl in the city video, we could get to that in verse 4 again.
Mm.
But let's get to verse 3. Let's not jump the gun, gentlemen. Verse 3, I like it. I like the juxtaposition. There it is. Almost completely an argument, isn't it? You smashed the glass into pieces. That's when the time I left. I can visualise that. Like, she goes, tsh, and he's like, fuck this, I'm out, turns around, leaves. But then he turns back around to get something, or she says something. Like, you know, she gets that last word in. She thinks she's clever, but then she lights the wrong end of the cigarette and he's kind of got the last laugh. On that one, undermines whatever point she may have had, which I have done while trying to impress a young lady. Lit the wrong end of a cigarette, and it was
yeah,
not funny. Well, it is, but when you're going, you sound full of diseases. Your eyes are full of regret. Again, great. Yeah, verse 3 is just an argument, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah,
but. I feel like the last line is obviously that juxtaposition of her wanting to put a social media presence out there, like, everything's good. They've had this argument, and then she's like, well, I'm still taking a picture of my dinner.
Yeah, it's a nice contrast, isn't it?
See, I think that line's, like, really sort of...
Or even it could be kind of like a confirmation of why the relationship isn't working, because, like, after all that, you took a picture of your food and put it on Instagram, and I just thought, what a bell end.
My heart is changing.
Yeah. You are a complete balloon.
Balloon? I think it's like, if someone, you know, even if you sort of like build someone up to be this person, then it's kind of like, it can really crash back when they do something that's like something as banal as that, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Like, because, you know, if you see someone's Instagram feed, it can look amazing. But if you see, like, what's behind it, literally someone there with, like, a phone over a salad. A lot of this song to me is, like, the idea that someone is just seeing someone as just a normal person after maybe seeing them in a different light.
Your
leg muscle. Nice.
I see what you mean.
So it's, like, all of a sudden, like, rather than them being what you see maybe in the feed, or the news feed, whatever, you see what's behind it, and it's just a person just with a bit of food with, like, the phone over it.
The the veil has been lifted.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the veil has fallen, that's what you
it's
say.
It's a theme he likes to explore, though, isn't it?
Mm.
Online relationships.
Well, get more to that.
But stay tuned.
Also, does that thing of, have you heard this, that some, like, sort of, it's like usually like bosses and companies and stuff have this thing where they don't let people see them eat. Because if you let, seeing someone eat is such a, like, it's something that really humanises people.
Ah, right, okay, yeah.
So if people are trying to create, like, an aura around themselves.
Yeah.
Seeing them there eating, they think takes away that aura.
Oh, what a mentalist.
Yeah, no, it's like a thing.
Jack Bauer never ate in 24.
Maybe, there you go. That's why when you got the biscuits out, I ran out the room to eat them, just so. But yeah, so maybe, I mean, I don't, maybe not, that's not in, exactly in Matty's mind, but I think just in terms of how, you know, receive the lyrics, I think that introducing food into something can humanise someone in a different way.
That's some fucking good content, that.
Yeah, it is.
That's a phenomenal line. That really stands out to me. And like Liv said as well, when we were talking about how conversational his lyrics are, that is one that stands out. Like, took a picture of his side and put it on the internet. He's just describing something boring. He's describing something that people can kind of take the piss for, because there was that thing like, you know, if you didn't Instagram your food, did you even eat it? Also, it's taking the piss out of the person doing it. It's a phenomenal lyric in so much. And also, it's just something so of its time. Like, it was, and this whole album explores the filtered reality of stuff being online. Not so much in the way the third album deconstructs online stuff, but they said that with the aesthetic of it, with all the filter stuff they were doing, and the fact that they've just slipped a line which maybe goes behind the veil of the perception of it being online, I think is so clever, and there's so much in that line.
See you online.
All the time. Bridge.
I like that he sings it with one set of lyrics one time and a different set of lyrics another time.
But that is like, there's the good thing about this song that I think I like so much is that none of the lyrics are trying to be clever in the words they're using. They're just clever in the fact that they're used as lyrics in a song.
Like, yeah.
I've been so worried about you lately. You look shit and you smell a bit.
Yeah.
Like,
I know I said juxtaposition before today, but it's a juxtaposition to the depth of his other lyrics that you know he's capable of.
Mm.
Again, though, I think that really does reinforce that idea of two people being true to themselves, but that person isn't true to what the other person believes that person is. If that, do you know what I mean? That,
One second, my brain just melted.
Yeah. So again, just that perception you can have of someone that's wrong. So maybe he does look shit and smell a bit in his day-to-day life, but she's built him up from pictures on perception or whatever just to be this nice guy. Like, I look at Ed Sheeran, I think he stinks. That's my perception. And he probably doesn't. He probably smells very nice because it's not like he's short of a bob or two, is it? Yeah. You know, he can definitely afford Creed.
I think as well, like this, I think it's clever because there's two lines that are then immediately contextualised by being kind of about how attractive the person is, if you get me. And that's another reason why I don't think this song is about like an actual relationship. Like, you know, I've been worried about you lately. Where's it going? You look shit and you smell a bit. Like, you're mad thinking you could ever save me, then immediately contextualised by not looking like that.
Yeah.
As in, like, now you look like that, and this thing's over.
Yeah.
Because it was all about the, you know,
superficial.
The physical attraction.
Yeah. Do you think that's like a response to the a first line, though? So, say, she said, I've been so worried about you lately. You look shit and you smell a bit. Then maybe he's saying, you're mad thinking you could ever save me, not looking like that. Because if we're looking at genius, that's all one quotation. But
yeah.
To me, there's nothing to say that that's not a response. he's saying to her, you're mad thinking you could ever save me.
I would interpret it the way Genius has, as one, yeah. as it being one side, but I understand what you mean.
That would yeah. be an initial interpretation, but now I'm going to change my mind because I want it to be the response to, yeah, I might look shit and smell a bit, but you're not going to change me. I'm not looking like that.
Mm. Headcanon.
Headcanon?
Yeah. It's like... It's like it's the phrase for like stuff in like movies and TV. So you know canon.
Oh yeah.
That isn't okay. explicitly said, but in your head you kind of like head believe canon, it to right. like sort of
okay. Yeah.
Like that Boba Fett is survived the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, right, that's head canon.
If you've believed that, yeah.
Yeah. You know that canon is a biblical thing.
Is it really?
Yeah. That's where it comes from. So you can say like that's canon. It's in the Bible.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, we're laughing and learning today.
Yeah,
yeah. I've just sort of clocked something I've not clocked before. Like, the first two, and I just had a change of hearts, are, at least from my perspective, Matt saying that he's had a change of heart. But then, in Bridge 2, you played your part, this is how it starts, reference to sex, great.
Interpolation.
And then, oh, I just had a change of heart. Sounds like it's coming from the other person in the situation.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's like they both have and it's mutual.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that's clever because then I think that's reinforced at the end when the line, I just had a change of heart, is repeated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's clever because there's two clear voices singing that.
Yeah.
Because there's the one that he's delivering it as like he's registered, he is throughout the song, but then there's the additional vocal where he's really going for it.
Yeah.
And I think that is clever that there's two different voices saying, I had a change of heart, like the two different people it's describing in the song.
So it's a reference to Robbers again, you used to have a face straight out of a magazine, and like yeah. you say, now you just look like anyone. Like that's that veil falling again, and like yeah. you say, seeing the behind the scenes and be like, oh.
But do you not reckon that might be like, as a guy, when he wrote the line, you saw face straight of a magazine, he'd be like, what, 17?
Mm.
And he'd like, the girls that he'd probably be available to him at 25, however old he were, when he wrote this after the first album, were probably...
Actual models.
Yeah.
Literal models.
Yeah.
Actual faces in actual magazines.
Yeah. So then, like, maybe, you know, maybe the perception of these people, these girls, were that they were just faced out of magazines, but now they look like anyone because of the circles he's knocking around.
Yeah.
It's interesting how you can come up with different stuff. So I've always heard this verse as it's a girl seeing him as famous now. So, Matt, you used to have a face, like, straight out of a magazine, but now that I've met you, I know that you might hear it. You just look like anyone. So oh, like,
that's interesting.
I got the same context, but switching the sexes. So again, the veil has slipped. So he used to think, "Oh my god, she's well fit," and now
she's over with Josh.
He's just gone. You know what? I'm over you. I don't fancy you anymore.
I get what you mean. The quotes. Back to the songs are more they make me think it even more that it's like her saying it to him because she's like, imagine like a fan would reference the lyrics to his songs while she's with him and like I never found love in the city like you told me I would, Matt.
I think that is a reference to Gemma, the model in the city. I never found love in the city.
Oh shit.
Who we also met in... Well, we didn't meet because we didn't say her to, but we saw her.
We did.
With our own eyes.
Eating chips.
Yeah, eating chips.
Not a salad.
Yeah, and I told her, moment on the lips.
we saw her in the 50s. and then the video after the city was sex. Maybe he was, you know, and that was all just in a car. I sat and cried in the car.
Hmm.
Weak. Maybe weak, but I'll go for it. And then he had to change his heart, or she did, whoever.
Do, 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 do.
There you go. Lyrics done.
That's nothing.
That is that, Tony the Dove.
I think it's incredible, this song. I really do, you know.
Yeah, the lyrics, man. They almost make up for that synth part, I swear.
Yeah, I just think it's so clever. It's so, like, easy to listen to. It's the... I think it's simple, isn't it, for them? But it's a really clever...
It's got a lot of depth.
Yeah, it's got... The lyrics have a lot of depth, but I think it's a really cleverly written song. Just at, like, what each bit is doing, like... Even starting the song with "Are We Awake?"
Yeah, flipping those bridges around is cool, and like changing the words. Like the melody's the same, but the words are almost. I think it's only the first line, is it, of each one? That's "I've been so worried about you lately," and the rest of it's different. But you might not even notice on like a first listen.
You were fit, but you're losing it. You played a part. This is how it starts.
I like the fit, but you're losing it as well. I think that's like it's Northern. Do you know what I mean? And it's
Yeah, you were fit, but that's so, like, I think there's a real, like, sort of confidence thing with putting in words and phrases that you wouldn't think should be in a song, but you can get away with it by how you're presenting it.
Yeah.
Like, that, obviously, I mean, that the one that jumped out there is "Fit But You Know It" by The Streets.
Yeah.
Like, the way you're singing that, obviously, and the style of music it is, it's great for that genre.
Yeah.
But I don't know who couldn't. I don't think a good example of it maybe Arctic Monkeys' first album, because they're using sort of like phrases and lyrics. Yes. Sorry, phrases in lyrics.
It borders on a bit pastiche, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm. But this doesn't. They just. What's insane though is the fact that this music doesn't necessarily fit. You would think to using phrases like. You look shit and you smell a bit.
Yeah.
You think you'd maybe have to come up with something a little more, I don't know.
Stylized.
Yes, that's a good way of saying it. Stylized to fit, like, electronic pop, whatever you ever described this song.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a staple of Healy lyrics. Healy's lyricism. There you go. Make it more stylized. That he... has great vocab, but then he'll throw bits of slang that he probably says when he's chilling with his mates, and I think that's creates that conversational vibe.
So, Change Your Heart, done. Final thoughts? Danny R9E.
Danny R9E. Do you know what, right? I just want this song to have a few little tweaks to it and become the robbers of this album. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it could have been. It's sick. Don't get me wrong. I love the lyrics. I don't think it'd pull me in if someone else had made the song, though. Do you know what I mean? I don't think the music and stuff would get me off as much.
No.
But the lyrics would probably pull me in because they're just so cool. But I want a remix. Do a remix.
There probably will be a remix somewhere.
If you'd like to send us the stems.
Yeah, send the stems over and over.
We can't do a remix.
I'll borrow a guitar.
Dan, you'd be able to do a remix.
Hopefully. But yeah, so you see, I think it's a sick song. The lyrics are amazing, but I just think it could have been just some next level classic shit. And it's I think they clearly decided that it is. That's not what this song's for.
Yeah.
But I'll shut up.
I think there is next level classic shit on this album. Like, there's definitely songs that fit that mold. But I think it's so different. It's just so catchy. I was super excited when it got released as well. This is going to be very hard to rank when we do the album ranking for me. Because I do love it. But then do I put it over other stuff on the album? Like, can I do that?
Put it at 8.
Can't do that. But I think it's brilliant. Honestly, I think great.
Matty C, 9M. I honestly don't think there's anything you could do to improve it. things. Yeah. The song, I don't think it's the best song on the album, but I don't think it is possible to improve this song for me.
Mm.
For what it is, they've massaged it and got everything you could get out of it for me to make it the best it could be. I think that's all I could say. I just think it's really good.
This album, God, I don't know if at the end of this I might prefer this to the self-titled, you know.
It's mad, isn't it? Analyzing everything feel in that much coming, detail. You know, yeah.
Because I was just about to say, what's next week?
It's naughty, isn't it?
You know what, I think for this album, the highs are higher and the lows are lower than the first album.
You think the lows are lower than Talk?
I think Talk and Love Me, same level for me.
No, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Heck.
Yeah. I think...
By Jove.
I think Nana and She Lays Down are well good. I think they're better than Love Me.
Well, that is some controversial stuff.
Yeah, Excited to rank the album, definitely.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great. Right, next week...
That drum, bro.
Yeah.
Wait for it. So good. I couldn't resist. I was there and I couldn't resist playing it.
Yeah, it's not even fair.
Oh, I'm playing that on in the car on the way home.
Yes! I wish my car journey home was longer.
go the long way. Yeah. Scenic route.
The car rings, you are here.
Shut up!
Hull. I got in the north to it and I just kept going.
It's on repeat.
Oh my god. Yeah, so next week is She's American, which is so good. Oh, it's bringing a tear to my eye. Next week She's American, and then we're going to keep playing on, keep going through the entire album of I Like It When You Sleep. What do we even do at the end? I can't remember.
I think you tell them where you can find you on your social media.
I tell them. Can I do it?
Yeah, you can do it if you want.
Right, first of all, you can find the podcast at the 975 Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Search Pause It Play It Pod on Facebook, or if you want to get in touch by email, you can at pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com. If your podcast provider provides the opportunity to subscribe, like Gemma wasn't, but she is now.
She is now.
Subscribe to us if you can follow us on Spotify. And if your podcast provider does provide the opportunity to rate the podcast, that is really good for us because it shoots us right up the algorithm the more ratings we get. You can find Matt on Twitter and Instagram at Junior, which is JEWKNEEOR. What's the next one? If you are a member of NATO, that is Juliet Echo Whiskey Kilo November Echo Oscar Romeo.
Smashed it.
And if it is easier to describe in phonetics, it is Jew, like the follower of the Jewish faith, knee, like the bend in your leg, or as in either or.
You can find Josh at Josh William without the vowels.
Yes!
Or is it Joshua William without the vowels?
Oh, will we ever know? Do the last one.
Go on.
And Dan abstains from social media. However, if you feel like you would like to speak to him, you can sign up to our Patreon.
I'll just be there lurking.
You sound like a daddy's online.
Still.
People from Thailand going on. It's like 5 a.m. in the UK. Why's Dan online? Yeah. That's
7 hours ahead in Thailand.
Oh.
Sorry. My 200 quid father. You saying I got as far?
Right, that's us. That's us this week. Change your heart. Done. I don't know why that was so funny. Next week, She's American.
She certainly is.
See you then.
See you in a bit.
Bye.